Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. Good evening, brothers and sisters, and thank you for joining us this evening on the Great Controversy Study. Let us have a brief word of prayer before I open the line for Sister Richardson. Kind and loving Father, I thank you for each and every one of my brothers and sisters that have gathered together this evening to study the Great Controversy, Lord, to see things that happened in the past, things that are going on now, and things that must come to pass, O Father. You reveal yourself to us, O Lord, in your word, in the things that we read and see, O Lord. Help us to gain wisdom and understanding. Help us to take heed, Lord. Help us to come unto you, which can only save us from the disaster, from the things that are going on upon this earth. And men's heart are failing them, Lord. Help us to be strong. Help us to be brave. Help us, O Father, to afflict our soul. Help us in all we do and say that we do according to your will. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Sister Richardson, could you please press 1 so that I can open your line so you can give us another word of prayer? Amen. Again, I want to thank each and every one of my brothers and sisters for joining us this evening. And go ahead and press 1, Sister Richardson, so that I can open your line. Okay, I don't see Sister Richardson line as yet. And please keep me in prayer as my internet is down, so I'm using my phone to host on my phone, but I don't see the line for Sister Richardson as yet. So just a few minutes, please.
Hello?
Yes, your line is open, Sister Richardson. Sorry, brothers and sisters, my internet went down. Your line is open now.
Heavenly Father, we are so grateful and thankful, O God, for your watch care and your provision over us. We thank you, O God, for allowing Carla, internet to come back, O Lord, so that we can study this great message, O God, you have given your servant for us in these last days. We thank you, O Lord, to know, Lord, that you have did not left us in the dark, but you have given us the and spell out the controversy, what is going on between Christ and the devil. O Heavenly Father, as we study your words and as we meditate on it, O God, help us, O Father, to surrender our lives to you and to give our lives completely and totally to you before it is eternal too late. As Elder Ridden going to read from the Great Controversy and explain, O Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to attend him, O Father, and that we can understand your words and that we can hide your words in our hearts so that we would not sin against you. So I pray, O Father, for your Holy Spirit to lead and to guide and to bring us, O Father, to the truth that we ought to know, O Father, so our lives will be in harmony with your divine will. So bless us, bless each one who are on the line, who is listening. Help, O Father, as we listen, help us, O Father, through your Holy Spirit, to apply these things unto our lives so that we can live out that life so that others may see Jesus in us and they too will let glorify thee. So bless us and keep us and help us all to be faithful as we watch and as we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Richardson. Now, like Sister Sheldine, if you can press 1 so that I can open your line for the song of meditation. Sister Sheldine, please press 1 so that I can open your line so you can bring us the song of meditation. I believe it's 607-743. Your line is now open.
Yes, hi. Good evening, everyone.
Yes.
I will sing for us the song is entitled I Will Change Your Name by the Nebbitt family. I'll sing this song. I will change your name. You shall no longer be called wounded, outcast, lonely or afraid. I will change. Overcoming one. faithfulness, friend of God, one who seeks my face, confidence, joyfulness, overcoming one, faithfulness, friend of God, my faith.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Shobin, for that song of meditation, faithfulness. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brothers and sisters, again, I just want to welcome each and every one of you this evening to the Great Controversy line. I pray that you have your book, your Great Controversy book in hand, a notepad, a pen, or, you know, you can have it on your tablet. You can pull it up on your tablet, the Great Controversy. And please write down your questions or your comments so that at the end it would allow you 10 minutes or so to briefly give a comment or ask a question. And, you know, at the end you can press 1. So it'll indicate to me that you have a question or a comment. And if you have pressed 1 before, please clear your line and press 1 again and 1 when you have a question or comment, so that I can open your line. Amen. Again, I just want to welcome each and every one of you. I'll turn the call over now to Elder Richardson. Amen. Your line
Amen.
Is open, Elder. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Sheldon, for the song. I never heard that song before, but it was truly inspiring by the grace of God. I thank my wife for doing the opening prayer. Thank you, Sister Carla, for hosting. And we know for a fact that God is going to truly bless us on this study of this great controversy. We have reached thus far on the 10th chapter, and I know God is going to continue to lead us in spite of all what the enemy will come and to disrupt. We know that he has been overcome, and through Christ we can do all things. He will strengthen us. So praise the Lord again for another Monday where we can come to study the book Great Controversy. And I pray that our hearts will be truly blessed, and to all those that have called in from distant states that are on the line, I pray the blessing of God be upon each and everyone that as we go through this study, I pray our hearts will be blessed, our hearts will be truly be filled with knowledge and understanding of the coming crisis before us. So before we go into the reading, let us again offer a word of prayer. Father God in heaven, we are thankful for this great opportunity for your people, Lord, which have called in from all over this country, all over the state, dear God. And I pray a blessing upon each and every one that are hearing, that are listening. God, I pray that it will all awaken in us the importance of the what is coming and the needs in our life and the preparation that we, Lord God, to prepare, Father, for the coming crisis. So as we go into your words, Lord, open our understanding as you speak to us. As we praise, as we honor, as we glorify your holy name, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so all those that have followed us on the Great Controversy book and those that have apps can go right into chapter 10 of the Great Controversy. And on, in the paperback book, Great Controversy, it will be page 91. 91, chapter 10. Which the title is Progress of Reform in Germany. And also in the hardback Great Controversy, it will be page 184. Okay, so we are going to begin from that, and I pray that God may truly bless each and every one of us in this study. I begin. Luther's mysterious disappearance excited consternation throughout all Germany. Inquiries concerning him were heard everywhere. So we are picking up from chapter 9, where Luther was heading back, and we know that he was taken and placed in a place on a mountain where he was kept and where he was able to translate the Bible into his language. All right, so we're taking it from this reading here. The wildest rumors were circulated, and many believed that he, Luther, had been murdered. There was a great lamentation, not only by his avowed friends, but by thousands who had not openly taken their stand with the Reformation. Many bound themselves by a solemn oath to avenge his death. Folks, this is going to be a great chapter. The Romish leaders saw with terror to what had risen the feeling against them. And though all at first exultant at the supposed death of Luther, they soon desired to hide from the wrath of the people. His enemies had not been so troubled by his most daring acts while among them as they were at his removal. Those who are in their rage had sought to destroy the bold reformer were filled with fear now, right? Now that he had become a helpless captive. So we understand that many thought that Luther had died, as the case might be, and there was setting up to a revolt. A revolution had begun there, and the people, they were scared, you know, that the people will revolt. I continue. The only remaining way of saving ourselves, said one, is to light torches and hunt for Luther through the whole world. Wow. To restore him to the nation that is calling for him. The edict of the emperor seemed to fall powerless. The papal legates were filled with indignation as they saw that it commanded far less attention than did the fate of Luther. The tidings that he was safe, though a prisoner, calmed the fears of the people, while it still further aroused their enthusiasm in his favor. Writings were read with greater eagerness than ever before. I pause a little while, folks. Do you know that when you become a martyr for Jesus, do you know that your testimony and the effect of your life witnessing becomes more greater when your life is laid down for Jesus? You know, I remembered in our second chapter, Christian persecution in the first century that we read, that when they were persecuting the Christian and they were killing them by the thousands, do you know what one Christian said to those who were doing the martyring them and killing them? He said that the more you mow us down is the more we will raise again. Christians are like seed. The blood of the Christians are like seed. The more you mow us down is the more we will rise, even the more. Praise the Lord. And this is what was going on here when some thought that Luther had died, and as the case might be. I continue. The seed which Luther had sown sprung up everywhere. His absence accomplished a work which his presence would have failed to do. Other laborers said, let me jump back up a little bit. Increasing numbers joined the cause of the heroic man who had, at such fearful odds, defended the word of God. The Reformation was constantly gaining in strength. The seed which Luther had sown sprang up everywhere. His absence accomplished a work which his presence would have failed to do. Other laborers felt a new responsibility now that their great leader was removed. With new faith and earnestness, they pressed forward to do all in their power that the work so nobly begun might not be hindered. First, I just want to pause there just for a little to emphasize on that. You know, brethren, we have a work to do, a great work as God's people in these last days. And we must not wait for no one. We must not wait for any circumstances. We must take up our God-given cross and take up our God-given responsibilities and go with the message of the third angel to give to a world that needs to come to a knowledge of the truth. That's what we need to do, brethren. We cannot wait for nobody. Nobody's example. Jesus have set an example that we ought to follow. All right? And that's why he said to go. I continue. But Satan was not idle. Never. Satan is never idle. He now attempted what he has attempted in every other reformatory movement, to deceive and destroy the people by palming off upon them a counterfeit in place of the true work. As there were false Christs in the first century of the Christian church, so there arose false prophets in the 16th century. We know Jesus warned about these false Christs and false prophets in the last days. I continue. A few men, deeply affected by the excitement in the religious world, imagined themselves to have received special revelation from heaven and claimed to have been divinely commissioned, patient, the Reformation, which they declared had been but feebly begun by Luther. In truth, they were undoing the very work which he had accomplished. Satan always sends those after you have paved the way to establish principles and of God's word. Satan always comes and undermines to break it down, to pull it down. I continue. They rejected the great principles which was the very foundation of the Reformation, that the word of God is the all-sufficient rule of faith and practice. And for that unerring guide, they substituted the changeable, uncertain standard of their own feelings and impressions. Folks, I pause. Do we see a similar situation, a similar example, a similar experience here, that how our foundation has been compromised as a people? You know, while doing the study at the youth place in Eddie State, New York, I know Long Eddie, yes, New York. I remember that I did Isaiah 58 and reading verse 12, that concerning that, where Isaiah says concerning the foundation that have been compromised and have broken down, and God is sending us to be what? Repairer of the breach. So we are seeing here in similarity the same situation and experience that has been done in time past. And Ecclesiastes 1, in 8-11, you read that, you say, what was, will be, and what will be. So Satan always comes to bring down and to bring into our churches things, our pioneers, our founding fathers have set up. He's always working to bring it down. And we have seen it in all our churches. You know, the Three Angel logo is gone. And all these spiritual formation that are in our churches, and all these or apostasy, the Omega apostasy, we have seen all these things that have been infiltrated by Jesuitism. You know, our ministers, our leaders, many of them are Jesuits. And this is what they have done. where they have brought and break down the principles and the standards of our founding fathers. I continue. I can say much in this, but I will let the reading bring it out. By this act of setting aside the great detector of error and falsehood, the way was opened for Satan to control minds as best pleased himself. One of these prophets claimed to have been instructed by the angel Gabriel. A student who united with him forsook his studies, declaring that he had been endowed by God himself with wisdom to expound his word. That's why we got to be so careful who we sit under and to listen. We ourselves must know truth. We must not be under false shepherds, folks, because if the blind lead the blind, both fall in the ditch. I continue. Others who were naturally inclined to fanaticism united with them. The proceeding of these enthusiasts created no little excitement. The preaching of Luther had aroused the people everywhere to feel the necessity of reform. And now some really honest persons were misled by the pretensions of the new prophets. The leaders of the movement proceeded to Wittenberg, urged their claims upon Melanchthon and his collaborators, said they. We are sent by God to instruct the people. We have held familiar conversation with the Lord. We know that what will happen. In a word, we are apostles and prophets and appeal to Dr. Luther. The reformers were astonished and perplexed. This was such an element as they had never before encountered, and they knew not what course to pursue, said Melanchthon. They are indeed extraordinary spirits in these men, but what spirits? On the one hand, let us beware of quenching the spirit of God, and on the other, of being led astray by the spirit of Satan. The fruit of the new teachings soon became apparent. The people were led to neglect the Bible or to cast it wholly aside. We know that when you do not adhere to the word of God, because if you are not being led by the spirit and led by the word of God, you are in darkness. Okay? So we got to be careful who we listen and who we follow. I continue. The schools were thrown into confusion. Students, spurning all restraint, abandoned their studies and withdrew from the university. The men who thought themselves competent to revive and control the work of the Reformation succeeded only in bringing it to the verge of ruin. Folks, I want to just say something on this very quickly. There are many a times that we as God's people, we endeavor in many respects, in many aspects, to see God's work go forward. I have experienced a couple of years ago with a ministry that I was trying to bring together and to put together for us to do aggressive evangelism. And the group was going real good. The ministry was going well. And for a few days, I was not there, and a brother stepped in. I told him to, you know, continue while I'm not there. He brought such discord amongst the meeting that as a result, many of the brethren in the meeting lose faith in the ministry. And as a result, the ministry went down. And I'm telling you, we got to be careful. And I'm telling all of us in our ministry that as God are leading us, make sure that we are truly being led by the power of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives, that we got to make sure that it's being led by the Holy Spirit and by principles. We got to be careful, folks. We got to be careful. The Romanists, I continue, the Romanists now regained their confidence and exclaimed exultantly, one last struggle and all will be ours. Luther at the Wartburg, hearing of what had occurred, said with deep concern, "I always expected that Satan would send us this plague." It wasn't no strange thing to Luther. He perceived the true character of those pretended prophets and saw the danger that threatened the cause of truth. The opposition of the Pope and the Emperor had not caused him so great perplexity and distress as he now experienced. From the professed friends of the Reformation had, I read that again. From the professed friends of the Reformation had risen its worst enemies. The very truths which had brought him so great joy and consolation were being employed to stir up strife and create confusion in the church. Folks, we got to watch those who we associate with, even in our churches. Our enemy are those, the Bible said, our enemy are those of our own household of faith. And we have many of people in our churches, even in present truth. They have, they are inside, they have sheep clothing, but inside they are ravening wolves. We got to be careful, brethren and sisters. We got to keep our eyes open and fixed on Jesus and ask God for spiritual discernment to see when the enemy is coming in like a flood. I continue. In the work of reform, Luther had been urged forward by the Spirit of God, praise the Lord, and had been carried beyond himself. He had not purposed to take such position as he did or to make so radical changes. He had been but the instrument in the hand of infinite power, yet he often trembled for the result of his work. He had once said, "If I knew that my doctrine injured one man or single man, however lowly and obscure, which it cannot, for it is the gospel itself, I would rather die 10 times than not retract it." Folks, that's why we got to stand. Stand for the truth. Though the heavens fall, I continue. And now, Wittenberg itself, the very center of the Reformation, was fast falling under the power of fanaticism and lawlessness. Right where the Reformation was beginning in power, we see fanaticism and lawlessness came in at that very time. Can such, the Bible say, can such then be the end, as he continues saying, can such then, the terrible condition had not resulted from the teaching of Luther, but throughout Germany, his enemies were charging it upon him. In bitterness of soul, he sometimes asked, can such then be the end of this great work of the Reformation? Again, as he wrestled with God in prayer, peace flowed into his heart. The work is not mine. I love that. Luther is saying what? The work is not mine, but thine own. Saying, God, it is yours, he said. Thou wilt not suffer it to be corrupted by superstition or fanaticism. Praise God for Luther. Faith and believing that God is behind the movement. Praise God. But the thought of remaining longer from the conflict in such a crisis became insupportable. He determined to return to Wittenberg. Now remember, brethren, that Luther was hidden away in a castle in the mountain, and in the mountain where he was away from people, and he knew all these things that was going on. And yet, to that extent, Luther did not want to be hidden. Luther did not want to be where he cannot be heard or be seen. You know, that sort of like come to mind to me that many of us, we run away from trials and temptation, yes? We run away. We hide ourselves. We hide ourselves in a way that we do not go out and tell people. We are afraid of people out there, what they're going to say. We are ashamed, I would say. We are ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And if I ask the question to all of us individually, as I bring this question, are we, brethren? And I'm saying to take this not in a personal way, but take it in a general sense, what I'm saying. Are we ashamed of the gospel of Christ, which is a power unto God that leadeth to salvation, according to Romans 1:16? Then if we are not taking the message of the third angel to a world that are in darkness, and we are not in doing aggressive evangelism, if we are sitting in our homes, or if we are in our jobs and we are not witnessing for Christ, then, brethren, we are hiding ourselves. We are ashamed to represent Jesus. And this is why we hope all of us to get up from our ease in Zion, from our comfort zone, and from the cruise ship mentality, and to get on board on the battleship of Christ, and to put on, according to Ephesians 6:11-18, put on the whole armor of God, whereby we'll be able to stand against the enemy and to be prepared in our lives to minister and to go forth conquering. The time has come for every one of us, folks. And this is what the Lord is putting on my tongue to say for all of us, even myself included. It is time for us to get up from our ease and comfort zone, and it is time for us to take this message, going out in the field, going out with books and tracts, and to witness as Jesus witnessed. Only Jesus' method alone will bring success. No other way of evangelism can bring success except the way that Christ had taught us. And greater works, he said, we will do. We need them to be prepared. We need to receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives to do the work that Jesus did, to go out and to heal all manner of diseases and sicknesses amongst the people. And this is why we need to go down in prayer and fasting, according to Isaiah 58, verses 3 on down. You read it. The whole of Isaiah 58 will understand what true prayer and fasting is. Our mission to feed the poor and the naked and those that are in prison. That's what God is calling us to do, brethren and sisters. Not only to, listen, I have to say this because the Spirit of God has given me utterance. We cannot fatten ourselves with all the truths that God has given us and do not feed others. If we become fat spiritually, we'll suffer from obesity or cholesterol and all kinds of spiritual complications. Brethren, it is time for us. God has given me words just to say, because I'm seeing the same reading with Martin Luther here. Even though he was hidden for a while and was writing and all these things, yet he was not comfortable. He wanted to go out and to minister. And the reading will come out and show you that as we go down. Folks, whatever is coming out here to get up from our high horses, I don't care how old you are, how young you are, be it in age or in the faith, it is time that we wake up and shake up and realize that we need to spend more time in gospel ministry. We need to wake up, brethren and sisters, and spend more time in the work of God. I continue. The Lord brought his word to me for us. Without delay, he set out on his perilous journey. He did not want to stay still. He had to come out. He was under the ban of the empire. They banned him. Luther. Enemies were at liberty to take his life. That was the Pope's another bull. All right? Let anybody see Luther to kill him, and they will be rewarded. Folks, are we understanding what is going on here? It's coming to us very soon, folks. It's wake-up time for us. Enemies were at liberty to take his life. He had no resting place, Luther. Friends were forbidden to aid or to shelter him. And it's coming for us. It is coming for us. The imperial government was adopting the most stringent measures against his adherents. Do you know, folks, that very soon this country is going to be our worst enemy, joining with the papacy and with apostate Protestant churches? Do you know that? Folks, this is a serious thing here, this reading here. It's going to replay. It's going to happen again with greater force. I read that again. The imperial government in that time was adopting the most stringent measures against his adherents, but he saw that the work of the gospel was imperiled. And in the name of the Lord, he went out fearlessly to battle for the truth. Folks, I am so excited of this reading here. He was what? What is this saying about Luther? He was fearless. He went out fearlessly to battle for the truth. Are we as God's people, as Seventh-day Adventists, going out fearlessly to battle against the forces of the enemy? Folks, we are too long as God's people on the offense. We are too long as a church, as God's remnant church on the offense. All right, I'm on the defense. We need to go on the offense. On the offense, we are too hiding ourselves. And that was the problem of ancient Israel, that they kept to themselves as a nation and was not sharing the good news to all the surrounding nations. And as a result, 490 years was determined for them to get it right and to make it right as God's people, ancient Israel. And because they failed, they were given up as a nation, but not as a people in AD 34. And it's going to repeat. It's going to happen again with Seventh-day Adventists. The majority of the church is going to be shaken out. It's only 144,000 now. And we better strive. We as Seventh-day better strive to be part and parcel, Sister White said, of the 144,000. The majority, 99% of the church is going to be shaken out, folks. It's time for us to get up from our high horses and to go out on the field, be it winter, summer, be it fall, be it rain, be it snow. We need to get boots on the ground. It is time, because we are keeping back the second coming of Christ. There are souls to be won. And God is calling us as a people to wake up and to shake up, for time is no longer, folks. I continue. In a letter to the elector, after stating his purpose to leave the Wartburg, Luther said, "Be it known to you, Highness, your Highness, that I am going to Wittenberg under a protection far higher than that of princes and electors. I think not for soliciting your Highness' support, and far from desiring your protection. I would rather protect you myself. If I knew that your Highness could or would protect me, I would not go to Wittenberg at all. There is no sword that can further this cause. God alone must do everything. Without the help of concurrence of man, he who has the greatest faith is he who is most able to protect." Folks, are we reading Psalms chapter 91? Are we reading Psalms 91? We got to read that Psalms 91. That Sister White said that's the psalm for the time of trouble. Hmm. We don't need no protection from no man. That's what he was saying here. You don't need no protection from no prince or king. God is just protected. The angels of the Lord encamp it around them that fear him, that fear God. We don't need no protection from man. That's what Luther is bringing out here, folks. Are we understanding? Are we understanding what is going on here? In a second letter written on the way to Wittenberg, Luther added, listen to what he says again. I am ready to incur the displeasure of your highness and the anger of the whole world. Are not the Wittenbergers my sheep? Has not God entrusted them to me? And ought I not, if necessary, to expose myself to death for their sakes? Besides, I fear to see a terrible outbreak in Germany by which God will punish our nation. Ooh, folks, this is deep. This is so deep and so broad here for this brother, Martin, to stand and to bring about things concerning God's protection and what Luther needs to do in standing for truth. With great caution and humility, yet with decision and firmness, he entered upon his work. By the word, said he, must we overthrow and destroy what has been set up by violence. Amen. I will not make use of force against the superstitious and unbelieving. No one must be constrained. Liberty is the very essence of faith. Hallelujah. Liberty, folks. When you are, if the Son of Man have set you free, you are free indeed. And that is the liberty. That is the power. That is the strength. That is the grace when we make God our ideals, when we make God our leader, when we make God our protector. We have nothing to fear, folks. This is what Martin was saying here in a nutshell. I continue. It was soon noise through Wittenberg. It spread like wildfire that Luther had returned and that he was to preach. The people flocked from all directions when they heard that now, and the church was filled to overflowing. Oh, many of them who thought Luther had been in prison or died, or when they heard that he was coming, oh, the church were overpacked to capacity. Ascending the pulpit, he with great wisdom and gentleness instructed, exhorted, and reproved, touching the course of some who had resorted to violent measures in abolishing the mass, he said. Now, before I read this, let me just give you a little run-through for those who do not understand what is going on here. When Luther was in hiding, many of those followers who thought that he had died or in prison or something took upon them to go about in destroying churches and the mass and so forth and so on. And Luther did not want to go that way to bring violence, because that's not the way that Jesus went. Jesus did not brought violence, as the case may be. He won the people to love. All right? And that's what Luther was projecting here. All right? I just wanted to give a little explanation of what Luther was saying here when he came to the church and many came to hear him. He said, the mass is a bad thing. All right, the mass that the Roman Catholic has, that they go through with their routine thing. He said, God is opposed to it. It ought to be abolished. And I would that throughout the whole world, it will be replaced by the supper of the gospel. Amen. But let no one be torn from it by force. We must leave the matter in God's hand. You know, folks, this has so much of a message here for us. Many of us,
We take things upon our own self to do things our own way and think that we are doing things in God's way. But let God work in his way that he will want us not as we will, but as God's will. So that's what Martin was saying here. I continue. His word must act, and not we, not our word. That's what he said. And why so, the question you will ask? Because I do not hold men's heart in my hand, as the potters hold the clay. We have a right to speak. We have the right to act. Let us preach. Let us preach. The rest belong unto God. Leave it in the hands of God. Leave it in the hands of God. Too many a time we take up things on our own to correct things. We got to let God work it out in his own way, in his own time. Not as we will, but as he will. I continue. Were I to employ force, what should I gain? Grimace, formality, happens, human ordinances, and hypocrisy. But there would be no sincerity of heart, no faith, no charity, where these three are wanting. All is wanting or lacking, and I would not give a peer stalk for such a result. God does more by his word alone than you and I and all the world by our united strength. God lays hold upon the heart, and when the heart is taken, all is won. God is not a God of force. We can't force people, folks. We cannot force people to do things. Every one of us have our rights in our own way. I'm not, when I say rights in our own way, every man to his own order. That's what I mean. All right? And we ought not to compel people, force people, and to lay our agenda on people. And this, when we do that, when we force and put our own ideologies on people that is not in accordance with the written word of God, then there is going to be friction. There's going to be argument. There's going to be that it'll cause dissension. All right? I continue. I will preach, he said, discuss, and right, but I will constrain none, for faith is a voluntary act. See what I have done? I stood up against the Pope, indulgences and papists, but without violence. Note, without what? Violence or tumult, which is confusion and all these things. I put forward God's word. That's what we got to put forth, the word of God. He said, I preach and wrote. This was all I did. And yet, while I was asleep, the word that I had preached overthrew popery, so that neither prince nor emperor has done it so much harm. Praise the Lord. And yet I did nothing. The word alone did all. What did all? The word of God. That's what he's saying here. Leave it in the hands of God, folks. We can do what we can do, but leave it in the hands of God, whether they hear or whether they forbear. That's what we got to do as a people of God. I continue. If I had wished to appeal to force, the whole of Germany would perhaps have been deluged with blood. Oh, yeah, there would have been revolution. But what would have been the result? Ruin and desolation, both to body and soul. I therefore kept quiet and left the word to run through the world alone. You know what he's saying here in a nutshell, Luther? In other words, don't do violence. You know, this reminds me of what Jesus says. You have heard it have been said in time of old, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But Jesus said, I say unto you, if any man render evil for you, don't render back evil. Even Jesus said, pray for your enemies. Do good to them that hate you and those that despitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice And this is a place where we, as God's people, must come, that in our experience, that we ought not to force anything on anybody. Preach the word, whether they hear or whether they forbear, folks. Don't force our ideologies and our opinions on people. All right? Let us just lay the word of God openly so everyone can choose and decide in that setting. Day after day, as I close up on this note right below here, day after day, for a whole week, Luther continued to preach to eager crowds. The word of God broke the spell of fanatical excitement. The power of the gospel brought back the misguided people into the way of truth. Praise the Lord. Luther had no desire to encounter the fanatics whose cause had been productive of so great evil. He knew them to be men of unsound judgment and undisciplined passion, who, while claiming to be specially illuminated from heaven, would not endure the slightest contradiction or even the kindest reproof or counsel. Arrogating to themselves supreme authority, they required everyone without a question to acknowledge their claims. But as they demanded an interview with him, he consented to meet them. He didn't back away. And so successfully did he expose their pretensions that the imposters at once departed from Wittenberg. Face them up. Tell them straight up, like Jesus told the Pharisees and them, and they had to turn away by the grace of God. But as they demanded an interview with him, he consented to meet them, and so successfully did he expose their pretensions that the imposters at once departing from Wittenberg. And finally, the fanaticism was checked for a time, but several years later it broke out with greater violence and more terrible results, said Luther concerning the leaders in this movement. To them, the Holy Scriptures were but a dead letter, and they all began to cry, "The Spirit, the Spirit." But most assuredly, I will not follow where their spirit leads them. May God of his mercy preserve me from a church in which there are none but saints. I desire to dwell with the humble, the feeble, the sick, who know and feel their sins, and who groan and cry continually to God from the bottom of their hearts to obtain his consolation. Stop there, folks. So please mark where we stop there. Put a marker on your book. We're going to continue next week, God's willing, from this Thomas Munzer, as the case might be. I want to thank everyone for giving your listening ear and coming on this study, Great Controversy Line. Brethren, great things are going to happen on this study. We're going to experience, and I'm telling you, as God give me utterance to tell you, each and every one of us, that God is going to do something great on this Great Controversy study line. God is going to reveal a lot of things as we go through this study. He's going to speak to us. He's going to reveal to us things that are in our lives that are in not good standing relationship with our faith. And God will bring to us revival and awakening on this Great Controversy study line. And I want to give God the praise, and I want to give him the honor and the glory for blessing us as we come together. We're going to have, before we go into questions and on our study and a few whatever other things you want to add on what we study,
We just have another special psalm that Sister Dolores Richardson, my daughter-in-law, she's going to bring a message in song to us. So, Sister Carla, you can go ahead and tell her to press one. Sister Carla? Sister Carla?
Amen, amen. Sister Richardson, Dolores, could you please press one? Amen, I was on mute, sorry. Okay, I believe it's 607-743. Your line is now open. Is this Sister Dolores? Okay, no. Sister Dolores, could you please press one on your phone, which will indicate to me your line so that I can open your line? Okay, she has not pressed one, Elder. What is her number starts with, please?
The number, let me see if I can just get it really quick here.
Yes, just, if she can press one.
Yes, okay. I am trying to see if I can get it here, but it's not showing.
Amen.
And
I just want to thank all the brothers and sisters for joining us. I pray that you have comments and your question, and we'll get to that shortly. Just a moment, please.
All right. My phone is not making me go to her number, but if she has not pressed the number, then we'll go with the questions and answer because questions and suggestions.
Okay, okay. And she can do it at the end after. Amen. Okay,
yes.
Brothers and sisters, if you have any questions or comments, please press 1 on your telephone keypad, and that will indicate to me that you would like to make a comment or ask a question. And if it's something going on with your line, please text me if you have my number or Elder Richardson so that, you know, if you're pressing 1 and it's not going through because it has happened before, he will indicate to me what number to open. So please press 1 on your telephone keypad, which will indicate to me that you have a question or a comment. Amen? Okay, no one has pressed. Let me try 607-73. I'm not sure if you have a question or comment. I'll open your line. Six oh seven 743, your line is open. Okay. They don't have a question or comment. Okay, I'll go ahead and open the line for 337-433. Your line is now open. Three three seven 433. See if your line is on mute.
Yes, it was. This is Sister Bennett. I'm excited over the part where it said, but Satan was not idle, and went back to the scriptures that says, idle time is the devil's workshop. It put me back to that now, knowing why that scriptures is in the Word of God, because all our idle time, and while we're in that idle time, the devil is continue working.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Bennett. Amen. I'll go to the next caller that has pressed 1-225-364. Your line is now open.
Hello. My name is Betty Moore, and I just want to praise the Lord for being on the line tonight. I really enjoyed the study, and I was invited by a friend of mine, Sister Tobias. And I just praise the Lord for the prayer line, and God be with all of us and help us to do and stand and do our part.
Amen. Uh, All right, Sister Carla, she should be on. First number 252. Sister Carla?
Yes, I'm sorry, my mute button gets set. Okay, I'll go ahead and open the line now for 252-621. Your line is now open.
Yes, that's her for the song.
Hello?
Amen. Amen. Yes, hi, Sister Dolores.
Oh, hello. Hi. My name is Dolores Richardson, and I'm going to be singing Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
Amen.
Have Thine Own Way. Hello?
Go ahead.
Yes, amen. Go ahead.
Okay. Uh-huh. Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence, humbly I bow. Oh, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit, till all shall see Christ only, always living in me.
Sister Carla,
Amen.
Something, the Lord has revealed something to me. There is somebody that needs a special prayer that their heart has been really convicted of something in their relationship with Jesus, and they want to make a recommitment. I am getting this as the Lord is speaking even to me now, that there's someone or some persons on the line that need a special prayer. I'm asking that person right now. We may do it a little different tonight with a lot of the other questions and suggestions. I'll ask them to press one, Sister Carla. Let them press one and so give for a prayer that they need in their life to have a more relationship with Jesus and to be drawn closer to the cross. Somebody needs an encouraging word tonight. Somebody need recommitment of their lives. And I'm asking you right now, whoever that the Spirit of God has spoken to you and has brought a conviction to your heart that you need to make a rededication to God, this is the time for you to press one and please let us know what I need to pray for you. Go right ahead. The line is open. Press 1 and make your request of what prayer you need right now.
Amen. Amen. I have someone that has pressed 1.
Amen.
318-201. Your line is now open.
Yes, how are you doing? My name is Clifton Pryor. I'm from Alexandria, Louisiana, Maranatha, SDA Church. I want a closer walk with God. I want to walk so close with God to when he says something, I want to respond.
Amen.
Amen.
So, brother,
Amen.
What's your name? What's your name? I knew God been speaking to someone. What's your name?
Yes. Just prayer. Just general prayer.
All right. All right, so I'm going to pray for you right now.
Someone else, too. Did you want to wait to open that other person line to see
all
if
right.
they want prayer?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead with the other prayer. Go ahead.
Amen. I'll open the line for 731-438. Your line is open.
Okay, this is Sister Abba. I need prayers, a word of encouragement, to see me through my situation.
Amen. Okay. Go
Amen.
Ahead.
Amen. Sister Abba
Go
and
ahead.
Brother Clinton.
Yes.
Okay. Go
Amen.
Ahead. Someone else?
Is there anyone else? Please press 1. While the Holy Spirit is leading you, please press 1 so that if you like special prayer at this time, amen, amen. 225-281, your line is open.
Hey, this is Sister Nelda. I'm just thankful for all the blessings that God has given me, but I'm really discouraged right now for some personal things with my grandson and just stressful things going on with finishing up this house, and I just want special prayer. And I thank God for the two people that I've been talking to that are on this prayer line tonight, and that's Brother Clifton Power and Sister Betty Moore. I thank God
okay.
that they joined us tonight.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Sister Nelda. And we do have more. Amen. 225-364, your line is open.
Yes, my name is Betty Moore, and I'm requesting special prayer for myself that I will get a closer walk with the Lord, and that my life will be so engulfed in Him and die to self. And I want to have a closer walk with Him, and just my life just be so engulfed in Him that I could just forget about self.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And my desire to go to the country. I want to go to the country, but I don't know when, but it's my desire. I want to get out the city, and I want to move to the country with me and my two children.
Amen.
And I just want the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me in the way, and that I don't be hasty, but I want to be spirit-led.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sister Betty.
There's one more person.
Amen.
There's one more person I need a call in. There's one more person need a call in. Don't fight the Spirit of God. Your heart has been touched. God has spoken to you, the Spirit of God, and I want to do this special prayer for you. And I know God will deliver. God will deliver.
Amen.
There's
amen.
One more.
Amen. 508.
One more.
838. Your line is now open.
Hi, this is Sister Richardson. Just want to rededicate my life to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you,
Amen.
Sister Richardson. And as you did that, I am so moved also, brothers and sisters. I I've been going through something, just asking the Lord. One of my favorite clients passed, and you know, she was dying already, but the way that it happened, it was so sudden, and you know, I'm saddened by it, you know, just a lot of circumstance around it, and I'm just asking the Lord why in that way, why, you know, and he's been talking to me to need to free up my time, because I guess he wants me to be ready for ministry, ready to go to the country, but I was so imbued in working and in helping her and just being there. I do a lot of overtime with her, spend a lot of time there, and sometimes I don't even have time for myself. And, you know, the devil just been attacking me, you know, and I'm just asking the Lord, okay, please direct me now that my time, most of my time is free. Please direct me, Father. Please help me to sell this house and to be about your business and to, not to play around. The time is short, and you know, she, like I said, she was dying 96 in her last stage, and there's people that are living that the gospel need to go to. Please help me to reach them. Help me and direct me. Help me with get with a group that I can go out. You know, I'm worshiping from home. I need to be with people to go out and evangelize. So please pray for me that God will open up the way. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Brethren and sisters, I believe with all my heart. I don't go by feelings or by just, I lead as the Spirit give me utterance. And I'm telling you that God wants to do something for us. And I'm telling you that God is going to do something for us. Only on our part that we open up that stony heart, folks. Let God take it away. Give us a heart of flesh, because what is coming is no joke. I don't want to see none of us on this great controversy study line who are coming on each Mondays and are not right. It is time, brethren. Things are winding down. Things are closing down. If there's no more for prayer, then I will pray this prayer of consecration to those that are asking for prayer and have asked for prayers. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm but your servant, your humble instrument. Lord, I have asked you first many years not to, in my life, to exalt myself. I don't want no pat on my back from no one. All I want and asking for everyone is to pray for me. All glory belongs to Jesus. And I know that God is working amongst us in such a time like this, in these various ministries and these studies and these coming together. He's going to do great things for us. I believe our churches are not cutting it as we ought and as they should. Our programs in our churches are not cutting it as they ought and as they should. God is going to pour his Spirit upon each and every one of us that are in the field, those that are working to prepare the second coming of Jesus. God, tonight I ask of you first to cleanse me and to wash me thoroughly from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. Rid me of every sins and ways, O God, in my life that will deter the working of the Holy Spirit. That I will have no self in me, dear God. That your name alone will be exalted, that your name alone, God, will be praised. So, Father, tonight, in our great controversy study, God, we see how the enemy is working, dear God, to throw us off. But he's a conquered foe, and we rebuke him in the name of Jesus. And, oh God, I'm praying for your people tonight. I'm praying for those that have called in tonight for prayers. I know, God, you have placed this on my heart because, God, you have seen the needs of your people, dear Father. And you said, God, to me that you are going to do, Lord, something great amongst your people, and you have begun already, Lord, of your point, of your spirit, and of your speaking to us. And we thank you, God. We are hearing that still small voice that's saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, turn to the right, and when you turn to the left. And so, God, I'm praying especially here on our prayer request for Sister Abba, dear God. I'm praying for her that you will bring comfort to her, dear God. You have seen, oh God, the things that she's going through, dear God. And dear Father, you desire her to come to you, dear God, and to lay everything at your feet. And like Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus, there I love to weep and pray. There I leave my sin and sorrow. May he find me here each day. And so, Father, I'm praying for deliverance in her life. I'm praying, oh God, for your blessings, your strength, and your comfort of your Holy Spirit in her life, dear Jesus. Bring your blessings upon her in a mighty special way. Comfort her, dear God. Bring healing to her hurts. Bring healing to the needs in her life. Bring healing to the chemicals, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Jesus of Nazareth, oh Lord, have mercy, dear God, upon our sister in you, God, for special healing and blessings and comfort. Praying for Brother Clinton, who have asked for prayers, oh God. I pray, dear Jesus, that you will touch his heart here, even now tonight. Dear God, give him of your grace, give him of your strength. As he opens his heart to you, dear Father, let your power of your grace infuse through him, dear God. Let your blood, O God, cleanse him and bring healing to mind and body and of spirit, O God. Touch him, dear God. Deliver him, Jesus, and give him of your grace that will bring about power in his life, that will bring about change in his life, that will bring about, Lord, your blessings. And I thank you, God, for him. And I'm praying for Sister Nelda, dear God. And I know, dear God, that she is going through quite a lot. And God, I know the enemy is coming in on every side upon her and her grandson. And the plans that she has in relocating to Tennessee, oh God. And I am commanding in the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, that Satan get his filthy hands off our sister Nelda. And God, that you will bring deliverance in the name of Jesus. God, and bring comfort to her, bring strength to her. God, answer prayers accordingly. Father, give her the strength she needs to go through such a situation and circumstances in her life, oh God. Bring prayers, Lord, as she's praying, bring answers to her prayer, Jesus, and deliver her. And Lord, though she's not getting the support, dear Father, help her to stand alone and to believe that she's not alone, that you said, God, to take your yoke upon you, for your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And so, God, I'm praying for special deliverance and healing and blessing upon Sister Nelda and her grandson. Father, I'm praying for Sister Carlo, that you bring comfort to her, dear God, even in the death of a friend, oh God, that where she's working, dear God. You know, oh God, her struggles in her life. You know, oh God, that she desires to leave the city, to have a house sold in Virginia and to relocate, oh God, somewhere. Give her directions, Lord. Time is winding down. Lord, we have seen all over what is going on with the coronavirus. Lord, we cannot be stuck in the city. God, and I'm praying for special deliverance upon our sister Carla, God. Bring comfort to her. Bring grace. Bring strength. Bring mercies, bring deliverance, oh Father, as she desires to evangelize for you, God. Give her the spirit of blessing. Give her the spirit of going out, God, fearlessly in the name of Jesus, God, to be a witness for you, dear God. And I pray, God, for your mercies and your blessings and your power in her life to bring deliverance to her in the name of Jesus. And her son and her daughter also I pray for. God bless them. Nicholas, bless, Lord, each and every one of her children, God, and bless her in her plans of relocation. Father, I want to pray even now, Lord, for Sister Betty Moore. God, she's desiring a closer walk with you. She wants to move to the country, dear God. And I believe, Lord, she's in the right place, oh Father. For I know, dear God, that you will not see, Lord, your people, Lord, to be discouraged, dear God, when you are saying that this is the way when you walk, when you go to the left and to the right. And so, God, I'm praying for her. I'm praying for comfort. I'm praying for closer walk. I'm praying, God, for a relationship that she will draw closer to you, dear Father, in a special way. I'm praying for her two children in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, answer her prayers accordingly. As she desires to leave the cities, the city, Lord, and to move to the country, dear God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, dear God, that you will answer her prayer accordingly. And I'm asking and praying, Lord, on her on this matter, dear God, that relates, dear God, to her wanting and desiring, God, to head to the country. And I pray a blessing and a closer walk and a closer relationship with you. I want to thank you for speaking to our hearts tonight. And to all the unspoken requests, my wife, that is praying for a closer walk and a closer relationship with you also, dear Father. May your blessings attend her. May your grace be upon her. May she commit and surrender her life all in the altar of sacrifice. And I'm praying for each and every God, one of us that is on this study line tonight, that we will realize and understand, dear Father, that your grace and your power, Lord, will attend us in these study each and every Monday and all on the prayer lines, oh God, where we are coming together. Bless the youths, oh God, also the youth ministry, and bless Advent Light Ministry prayer line, and bless all the other ministries, Father, as we have united together. Let your power of your grace be upon us in a mighty special way. And Father, we give you all the glory, we give you all the praise, and we give you all the blessings, God, for you are worthy, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, and we glorify your name, and we praise your name, and we thank you. In your precious name we pray these mercies, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Elder Richardson. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining. I pray that you had a blessed, a good study. And please join us Thursday for testimony and prayer. We're going to dedicate Thursday for more testimonies and prayer. And please come and share with us what the Lord have done for you through from today to Thursday. Please come and share testimony, and we will be praying. And for those that want to fast, we will be fasting. Tomorrow we'll have the youth prayer line. It will be the number will be up on the WhatsApp. And on Friday we'll have the youth and also Advent Light on this number prayer on Friday, bringing in the Sabbath. Amen. If anything I forget, Elder, is there anything else that you would like to announce?
Just for Sister Betty Moore, if she's looking for country properties, please have just take a number, and I can get in contact with Brother Elder Cruz from Tennessee, and that will be a blessing. That will be an answer prayer to that. So ask her to give a number so I can get in contact with her. So we can set up with Elder Cruz to see some property in Tennessee. And anybody who is desiring to move to the country, please contact me or contact us on our ministry prayer lines. Thank you.
Amen. I believe I have her number, and Sister Nelda also have it, and she's friends with Sister
okay.
Leola. So I believe I have
okay.
her number. Amen.
Right. So
amen. Thank you, Jim. Go ahead.
We'll get it
Amen.
Through.
Thank you. Yes, thank you again, brothers and sisters. Please have a good night. Continue to study, continue to read, continue to trust in the Lord and pray, knowing that God will direct us, he will protect us, and he will lead us. Amen. Have a good night. Jesus loves you.
Oh.